The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan.
Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and I can't hear my headphones at all. There they are. And welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. We have had quite a day, and even though we had some plans to maybe do a live show tonight, it just didn't happen we just didn't get that that stuff done.
It took too long for the anesthetic to wear off.
honey, you're clean as a whistle now.
Yeah, well, it would be funny if it was actually untrue, if I was just making that up. But no, I had one of those fun procedures that you get to do when you turn 50 today. And so I was out of the loop for a while and fairly loopy for a while after that. So,
yeah, you were. Yeah. You were actually pretty entertaining. And I'm sure I was about a month ago when I had the same thing done. But we're in full compliance with our insurance company now.
And all's well that ends well.
Yes. It all comes out in the end, honey.
It does. So anyway, welcome. Today is Monday, June the 4th.
We probably should have done. If I knew how to actually do the engineering part that you're doing, we would have done this show earlier. Ha! That would have been some show for posterity.
Yeah. Well, anyway, June 4th, 2012, so a day late, but not a dollar short.
I just have to say this, that in the recovery room, you were sitting there in the chair, and you looked at me, and you said, you know what, honey? I don't remember anything. The last thing I remember is they said, could you turn over on your side? And then about 10 minutes later, you said, you know, honey, I don't remember anything.
That sounds very familiar because
I bet I did the same thing.
You said, and 20 minutes later, you said, and did I say that already? Yeah, about 20 minutes ago. So that sounds about right. So, but anyway,
is there weren't any gray aliens that we know of.
Yes, we don't need to be abducted to get that kind of a probe. So,
we don't.
But thankfully, a couple of things. Thankfully, good news. Thankfully, also that my employer provides for us very well.
We've got very good insurance.
Good
and
preventive.
We're healthy.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So anyway, just a lot has gone on since the last time we've done one of these shows.
TMI.
Yeah.
TMI.
Too much information. Don't need to, la 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 la. a lot going on in the world since last we spoke, both in terms of the geopolitical situation around the world and in terms of some very gruesome things that have kind of stolen the headlines. And sadly, a lot of it is being twisted and turned into an attempt at dark humor on the internet as people write about the zombie apocalypse.
You know, I'm sorry, but there is nothing funny about.
There is not.
That guy down in Miami, I think we talked. Did we talk about that on the last show, or did you and I just talk about that number of times here at the house?
We talked about it here at the house because that took place after our last program.
I watched probably the first, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes of the surveillance video.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people out there who are theorizing that the attacker. Again, you're hidden by trees, and the way it is, you really there's not a good view of it. But the attacker comes in from the bottom left of the frame, and appears to be saying something to the victim. And then all of a sudden, this streaky person goes by, and at first you think, what was that? Was someone running? And of course, the only way that it could be explained in my mind was it's someone on a bike because it goes by very fast. And you don't really see a bike, but the movement is too slow. You don't see, as if someone's running, but it's the person whizzes past fast. There are those who claim that this person hit the assailant as he was going past.
Hmm.
It's really hard to tell from the video whether or not that happened. Some people are theorizing that the assailant was actually the recipient of some sort of drug Mm-hmm. Because there are drugs out there that will make you do the weirdest things. In fact, there was, I think, just a story a week or two ago about a drug, and I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. I'll try to look it up here in a minute. So I can interrupt you while you're talking and say, it's called. But it's this fine dust that is blown into your face, and you will do anything. Okay, I want you to go and go to my apartment and take off all your clothes and do the following. I want you to go to your ATM, and I want you to take out all of your money and hand it to me. I want you to go to a bank and rob it. The victim will do whatever he or she is told to do. You become a robot.
Hmm. That's bizarre.
That is very bizarre. So, you know, I suppose it's possible that you could use that same drug and tell someone, you have to do the following.
Mm-hmm.
Go attack this person.
Well, and that's
the
kind of
surprised if that's what happened in that. I mean, it's the briefest blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the kind of drug, incidentally, that the CIA spent a lot of time, money, and effort trying to find back in the 1950s and 1960s when they were doing all that research that was documented in the book by John Marks called Search for the Manchurian Candidate.
Yes.
And that's Marks, M-A-R-K-S. Worth finding, well worth finding, and you can find a copy of it to read online on the internet. If you do enough searching, you should be able to find a copy. But it occurs to me that this is the kind of thing that mainstream news will dismiss as somebody who was on drugs, and they've mm-hmm. already, you know, talked about bath salts, so-called bath salts. You've got to use that word in air quotes, because there's not real bath salts that people are taking that are making them do these bizarre things. These so-called bath salts might be responsible for it, causing a reaction in the body in which the core temperature overheats, and so the
person strips off his clothes.
Strips off his clothes.
That doesn't explain why he's eating the man's face.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I think that if you ignore the spiritual component here, you're missing the real cause of what's going on. And the reason that this story is spread around the internet is because there have been several other cases like it in recent days. And, you know, again, you get people out there who say, oh, zombie apocalypse. Oh. And I don't know if we've even talked about this on the program, but there's been this odd meme that's been spread in recent months where even the Centers for Disease Control, in kind of a, they say, tongue-in-cheek attempt to encourage people to be prepared for emergencies. You know, water plant goes offline, gas lines cut, earthquake happens and you can't get food. Mm-hmm. You know, you should have certain things. And they've actually got a website at the cdc.gov website on how to deal with a zombie apocalypse. And somebody
that
picked up on
that is the oddest thing.
I mean, it is. And then for that to be followed by the case in Miami where a fellow named Rudy Eugene allegedly chewed the face off, and judging by the security camera video footage, it's pretty clear that's what he was doing, of a homeless man named Ronald Popo. But then there was an actor in porn films up in Canada named Luca Rocco Magnata, who has been arrested in Germany, who has been called now the Canadian Cannibal. That's his nickname.
Yes.
Then there's another case of a fella in Maryland.
And they all came out at about the same time. Like there was, well, I'll try not to be a conspiracy theorist. I'll just say maybe it's simply trying to get clicks on the internet or sell, you know, news on cable news shows. I don't know, because once something generates a lot of interest, mm-hmm. and suddenly, you know, the interns behind the scenes are told, go find every story you can find
sure.
on mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
But it also could be something, really something spiritual that's driving this cannibalism. We've seen mm-hmm. for years now, we've seen this cannibalism meme, even going down to cookies, you know, that have, you know, anthropomorphic cookies that are sitting in the little package looking up and saying, oh, man, I hope she takes a bite of me because she's so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only one step further removed from the trend among teens inspired by, like, you know, the Twilight series of biting each other. I mean, literally biting each other as a sign of affection. And incidentally, while this is going on, news story posted today, grabbing this from the Toronto Sun, NBC is going to produce a series based on the character of Hannibal Lecter. Oh. Here's a horrible... No, I'm not even going to go there.
No.
But, yeah, a fellow named Mads Mikkelsen is going to play the role. He's a Danish actor, fresh from Best Actor win at the Cannes Film Festival, and he will star in an NBC television series based on the character Hannibal Lecter.
That explains why I'm sitting this afternoon watching old Bob Newhart shows.
Yeah, sort of cleanse the palate.
What, I mean, we've been sitting there this afternoon watching these shows mm-hmm. over and over on Hulu Plus, and it's so relaxing to have those shows on in the background while I'm cleaning or reading or doing whatever. I'm waiting for my husband to recover from his anesthesia.
Wake up!
Yeah. No, smell the coffee. No, it burns. Debbie and I were looking at each other and saying, you know, this would never fly now. This is way too tame. Mm-hmm. There's no sex.
Yeah.
You know, the closest you get is every once in a while, Emily wears a gown that's a little bit low cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she gives, you know, the look at Bob. And, oh, Bob. It's like, yeah, that's about it.
As far as you get.
Yeah. It was kind of a big deal back in the day because they on the Newhart show, they had one bed.
Yeah.
That was sort of toward the end of that period where husbands and wives slept on TV, slept in separate beds. Like the old Dick Van Dyke show. So,
you know, it's amazing. But I grew up in that era and there were a lot of families that, oh, well, that's how it's done on TV. So we'll get our own little twin beds. That's how you do.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's drinking martinis. So, I mean, even my parents who never drank. Well, my dad, that's a long story, but he did recover. But they would have this, they never used it.
Mm-hmm.
They had a martini set sitting out on
this
little buffet
did.
Because that's what you did. Everybody, yeah. If you were fashionable, you had a martini mm-hmm. set.
And you smoked.
Scrimped and set. And you, so, yes, you smoked. Can you, I mean, you do what you're told to do on television.
Mm-hmm.
We are programmed from the minute we are born
mm-hmm.
until we die.
Yeah, and we'll use that as a segue into a film that we've been, not a film, but actually an old TV series, miniseries that we watched over the last few days. We're discovering so many interesting things to watch now via Netflix, Amazon Video, and now Hulu Plus, which you've subscribed to.
Because we don't have the cable on in the living room, so mm-hmm. that's all we have to watch.
But, Sharon started watching, and I caught some of it, not all of it, miniseries
Winds of War,
starring Robert Mitchum. And it was interesting because Mitchum's character, who was fictional, I looked it up because I was curious to know if there really was a guy or maybe somebody on whom the character of
Pug Henry
was based, who served as a
naval attaché.
Yeah, naval attaché for various intelligence, mm-hmm. missions, basically, where he was in Germany prior to World War II. He was in Moscow.
He was in Germany. He met Mussolini.
He was in Lisbon.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was everywhere. Yeah.
He's like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Little Big Man.
Right, yeah, the Dustin Hoffman character. He was there, but sort of behind the scenes at all these turning points in history. And the one thing that came out in the film, though, was when you were hearing him as he interacted with the characters playing German military officers and government officials and Russian military officers and so on, and Americans as well. The different spin that was coming out from those guys and how they were presenting their side of the story, and thinking, you know, that's really what goes on. We the public are basically spoon-fed whatever the government wants us to hear about whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that here in America, we tend to think that we've got this impartial press, that we've got a fair and balanced press.
So that when we're told that so many kills were made over in Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
that the number consists of military men who were killed.
Yeah, right, right.
When we're told combatants, that they're all combatants.
And it's only when other countries spin their news to represent the government line.
Yeah, we never do that.
That's propaganda. We don't do that here. I'll tell you, someone in the major media who, I guess he's sort of major media, Salon.com is more major than we are anyway, but a columnist named Glenn Greenwald, who I've come to respect, he is a progressive, but he at least is an honest progressive, and then he criticizes both sides and holds them to the same standard, which is something that not every conservative has done. And I got very disenchanted. I think one of the defining moments in my transformation, my growth, I guess, in developing my current view of the world is when I began to realize that the conservative talk show hosts I listened to during the Clinton administration were now defending George W. Bush for doing the things that Bill Clinton had done.
Of course.
Yeah.
This is the same thing now.
The drug entitlement plan? Well, that's a good thing. Well, wait a minute. That's the kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. Those on the left are now have been defending Obama for years over the same things that Bush did.
Right. And Glenn Greenwald at Salon.com has written a lot of columns on how hypocritical the progressive left has been during the Obama administration. And he's got a column that he posted just a couple of days ago called Deliberate Media Propaganda, which is really the point of where we were going with this. He just rakes the New York Times and Washington Post and Associated Press and over the coals, because the United States government and NATO spokesman will say, when we drone somebody in Pakistan, that as long as the victims were men of military age, which could be anywhere from 15 to 55, that they were militants. Instead of, how do you know that they were militants? All you know is that you've got a body lying out there who happens to be a male. How do you know that that's a militant? Well, because the government told us so. Well, yeah, so. And he goes to and points to specific examples, screen caps that he lifts from the websites of these publications. U.S. drone strike kills two militants in Pakistan. U.S. missile strike kills two militants in suspected militants.
So if the guy's dead, he's a militant.
Exactly. If he's dead and he's in the wrong age group, wrong place, wrong time, wrong age group, he is a militant once he's dead. And we on the other side of the planet will never know any different. All we know is that another strike against the forces of Al-Qaeda or those associated with Al-Qaeda. It's another win in the global war on terror.
But, it's more than just the presentation. It's a willingness to believe it. And and we as a country, we want to believe. And, of mm-hmm. course, that's the way we're programmed. We want to believe that what we're being told is true.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because it's our government and our the media that we need to trust, because that's all we've got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the great thing about the internet is that's not necessarily all we've got.
No, there are some brave
But everybody
souls.
Else around the world is spinning to their own little, song, too.
Well, sure.
So you have to very judiciously taste the news, so to speak, from country to country.
Mm-hmm. And just remember that and the reason that Greenwald went into such length on this particular story about deliberate media propaganda is that the New York Times, in spite of reporting that the Obama administration has admitted that to conceal civilian deaths, they, quote, count all military age males in a strike zone as combatants, end quote. This is per the New York Times. But then the New York Times later will run a headline, U.S. drone strike kills two militants in Pakistan. Well, how mm-hmm. do we know? Well, they were, 18 and they were dead.
Yeah.
So, it is a murky soup of information that's available out there, and a lot of it is.
And soon we'll see two militant farmers. The drones are looking at the farmers.
Well, that's the thing, because the drones are not just limited to airspace
over
sandy places. This is kind of a bizarre story. A group of congressmen from both parties are asking the director of the EPA, Lisa Jackson, why the EPA is using aerial surveillance to monitor livestock operations over Nebraska. So you've got congresspeople, Republicans and Democrats, representing the state of Nebraska, wanting to know why the EPA is spying on their farmers. It's the agency has declined thus far to respond. This is a story from Fox News on May 30th. They've got until June 10th to respond. It is a little...
Well, surely they're not acting as a police force for corporations.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see the story
The EPA, according to the story, uses aerial surveillance across a swath of the Midwest known as Section 7, which includes Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri.
Section 7 of the 10 sections in the United States?
I do not know the answer to that.
The 10 FEMA regions?
Well, I don't know how they've defined this. This bears a little more research. The EPA... surveilling the Midwest in an area called Section 7 and defends the practice as cost efficient. Cost efficient for what? Are they tracking the movement of herds for what? Are they looking for the spread of hoof and mouth? Why would the EPA be tracking herds anyway? I mean, what the environment?
Well, I think a long time ago they insisted that every four-legged critter on your farm had to be tagged in some way.
But that's the USDA, not the EPA.
It's all the same thing, honey. No, I know that there's
separate
departments. Yeah,
I'm really curious about this. Okay, on Friday, EPA officials, the agency's Section 7, this is from the World Herald in Omaha, snapping photos of livestock farms from an airplane is a legal and cost-effective way to help protect Nebraska and Iowa streams from runoff contamination. That's what the EPA is looking for.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
For nearly a decade, EPA has used aerial overflights to verify compliance with environmental laws in impaired watersheds. Aerial overflights are a cost-effective tool that helps the agency and our state partners minimize costs and reduce the number of on-site inspections across the country as the agency focuses on areas of the greatest concern. Well, I'm reading from an article at cattlenetwork.com.
Hmm. Well, I can appreciate wanting clean water. I certainly want to drink clean water too. But since when is the government the question is whether the government has the right to basically spy on farming operations from the air to see to make sure that they're complying with whatever restrictions and regulations.
Well, I'm gonna be devil's advocate one more time, and I'm gonna say I think part of it is our problem because we expect the government to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, make sure that what I eat is safe.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure what I give my baby and even my dog, those things need to be safe. And if they're not, I'm going to get mad and I'm going to blame you. But at the same time, if you do any of that in my backyard,
yeah,
that makes me really mad.
Well, that's true. And the NIMBY, there's a NIMBY effect almost everywhere, not in my backyard.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we want clean, green energy.
Yeah.
But when some of the main proponents of it, for example, the former, the late Senator Kennedy in Massachusetts had an opportunity to have wind turbines out in the Massachusetts Bay where they would have been within sight of the family compound there at Hyannisport, they said, no.
Oh,
we don't want it in our skyline.
Exactly. Yeah. I want it, but not here because this just messes my backyard up. I don't like it. I think that we have gotten too accustomed as Americans to our government being paternalistic.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there to make our lives easier constantly. The federal government is not for that. Even the state governments aren't for that. We have allowed government to swell to such a size that we should not be surprised when they are in our backyards. I mean, essentially, we've become children that they monitor constantly because we're nothing. We're just little infantile kids.
And we see this in a lot of ways, even in our homes. I mean, there's not a piece of equipment here in this room, I would be willing to bet, that doesn't have a warning tag on it of some sort about what we're not supposed to do with it. I mean,
I love it when it says not for human consumption.
Not for human consumption. Or, if you really need to tell someone.
It's a tablecloth. You're telling me not to eat that? Not for human consumption.
Yeah. If you really need to tell someone, don't stick your hand. Don't try to service the blades of the mower while the engine's running.
Don't whiz on the electric fence. Sorry, Ren and Stimpy couldn't help it.
Yep. So, but you're right. There is it's that same mentality that says it's okay to sue McDonald's if you spill a hot coffee in your lap.
Who is it that just had to remove a bunch of their coffee makers from the market because, and this is a problem, the handles come off while you're carrying it from to your coffee cup, so the carafe drops on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
It would shatter in our kitchen because we have a hard surface, and most kitchen floors are hard.
Yeah.
So, you don't want that. There have been people who've been burned badly and cut. But how much do we want them to be, frankly, in our homes, spying over our shoulders?
Yeah.
What? They're doing it now.
Mm-hmm. And
they're in our homes everywhere. And that brings us to another show that I recently watched, and I actually got Derek to watch the beginning of it with me, and I think he's going to complete that viewing at some point this week. A show produced, strangely enough, by Woody Harrelson. Called Ethos.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I only got a chance to watch the first few minutes of it, but the you know, everything that he said in the early going, with the exception of some of the really greeny-weeny tree-hugger stuff.
And that only lasts for about 5 minutes. Most of the show is very similar to the discussion we're having right now.
Right.
About being programmed, wondering if you're going to, if you can really trust what you're being told, the government interfering in your life.
Well, yeah, yeah. And this is, there was a really good point made during that the early portion of that film that was, you know, like a forehead slap moment. Well, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. And I got this question the other night. I was interviewed by a fellow named Jason Street from Australia for a podcast. And he asked about the push for gay marriage in the United States and elsewhere around the world. Mm-hmm. The drive to normalize homosexuality, and his observation, which I've heard for years. My dad thought this years ago, that the Roman Empire, when it began to normalize and accept homosexual behavior as normal, was when the empire began to weaken and fall apart. I don't necessarily know that was a cause or contributing factor, that the moral decay of Rome preceded its decline. But the point made in Ethos that I think is a big reason that we see that debate over gay marriage in the news is that it keeps people on the who are conservative and progressive at each other's throats.
Yes.
Over a hot button issue.
Because the left and the right really are the same.
Exactly. When you look at the big picture issues of the Republicans and the Democrats in the U.S. and elsewhere around the world, but here in the U.S., which is all we can speak to with any intelligence at all, which ain't much, that the Republicans and Democrats are following the same policies. President Obama is doing, in terms of our military interventionist policies, in terms of our economic policies, bailing out the banks and major corporations.
He has more war fronts, Mr. Peace President,
yes,
than Bush had.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's really ticked off some of our so-called allies. The Pakistanis are furious. We've had like four drone strikes in the previous week. Of course, they were all militants, combatants that were killed. But we've also been, he deployed U.S. Special Forces in Uganda. We haven't heard anything about that for about 6 months. But we've got forces on the ground, boots on the ground in Uganda or perhaps Congo. We don't know. They're supposedly chasing Joseph Kony and
but
his
we
group.
Need to know that we have that left and right. We have a choice.
We have a choice, right.
That's the lie.
They want us to believe that there is a difference between Republican and Democrat, when in fact on the big issues, government intervention, in other nations overseas, government intervention in our lives here through control of healthcare and education and everything else, and the growing national surveillance state in which we live, that is all the same. And both parties don't have a dime's worth of difference between them. But as long as they can keep us fighting over gay marriage and abortion, we believe we have a choice, and we feel like
we
our
see
votes
them
are,
as radically different.
Exactly, exactly. And the truth is, they're not. They're not. So, I thought that was a really interesting observation.
Watch the Ethos documentary. It's on Netflix. It may be on other streaming. Mm-hmm. You can. What is the website that I said? Ethosthemovie.com.
Yeah.
And E-T-H-O-S.
Isn't it interesting they chose Woody Harrelson as the spokesman, considering his dad was one of the guys on the grassy knoll,
Charles Harrelson,
in Dallas in 1963.
And he looks a lot like his dad.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be that Woody Harrelson really does, he played that, character like you, except if you were, crazy. And you're not. But he played a sort of an alter media person in 2012, the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. Almost like the character that you created for
Barney Eisen.
Yeah, Barney Eisen, the character that you created for the Armageddon strain.
Yeah, he even had a Winnebago.
That's right. So, he was like, go, Barney. Oh, well, he didn't
survive. He just didn't have a Popeye to take care of him.
So there's that. So the government's got its drones flying over. Well, actually, they're not using drones to fly over the cows, but they may be using drones to, you know.
I hear that high-pitched whine.
Patrol the rest of it. It's the fan on the
Okay, it's the fan. Yeah. Want to make sure it's not the.
No, it's just yeah.
The secret hum that we heard the other day.
No, I can, next time I'll try to move the thing further back away. But don't know that it's. It's distracting to us, I know.
But, yeah. I don't know that they can hear it, but I can hear it.
But the fact that we're talking about this isn't just isn't distracting any of our listeners.
No,
sure.
No. They've fallen asleep long ago.
Yes, this works better than the anesthesia that they put in the drip, I get.
I know, honey. Yeah. You know what? You don't remember any of it.
No,
do
I don't. I don't remember getting back to that room.
You never got back. You're still in. You're still in that surgical suite.
I'm in a pod full of goo somewhere.
Well, sure you are.
Yeah. So the stock market, and not just here in the U.S., but around the world, has taken done a face plant here in the last couple of days.
All because of Facebook.
Yeah, we've turned negative in the last few days here. And
George Soros says everything's going south in Europe in 3 months. It'll all be gone. By September, gone.
Yeah, kind of an interesting comment he made that by then we could be creating, he said, what did he call it, a German empire? Is what we.
Which brings us back. To winds of war.
Yes.
Because honestly, in winds of war, I've started reading the book again. I read it many, many years ago. But it feels familiar to watch the geopolitics going on in that movie and in the book. It feels so familiar. You know, Germany wanted to take over the world in the First World War. Germany wanted to take over the world in the Second World War. Boy, you know what? Germany economically could just take over the world now.
They just about could. At least Europe. Start there.
They won't do it today. Because today is the Queen's Jubilee.
Oh, yeah.
And they never do it.
Don't want to step on that. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Although... She is not a Windsor. She is a Saxe-Coburg. She can change her name, but she's still German.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Most people don't think about that. That George II, who was the father of George III, against whom the American colonies revolted.
Exactly.
Barely, and maybe didn't even speak English.
He didn't.
He spoke German.
He spoke German.
Yeah. So, put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's a little kind of an interesting development. You know, something that we had talked about almost every year previously, but we haven't really touched on it this year, that the Bilderberg meeting is taking place as we record this.
I know.
Now, is it going on now, or is it just over this past weekend?
I think it was over the past weekend. I'm not really sure.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, we're recording this on the 4th, but it was only on through the 3rd, May 31st through June 3rd.
Was it in Washington this year?
Yes, it was in Chantilly, Virginia. The Marriott there, Westfield Marriott. Kicked out all guests 2 days ahead of the meeting. Alex Jones, of course, has been on site and was welcomed as a hero. He probably got a better reception than most of the attendees.
I'm sure he did.
But
all of his many friends did.
Yeah. So I'm sure there'll be plenty there. And we had talked about this before in years past and gone through the list, and I'm kind of looking here to see who
do they have a list of the list. Attendees this
well,
year?
I'm sure. I just need to find it while I'm talking. I'm kind of
sometimes you don't get until much later. There is another meeting going on in July of this year that we don't want people to forget about while you're looking up the Bilderberg stuff, and that is the meeting in Branson. Mm-hmm. You and I will be there. And I don't know that any of the Bilderberg people will be there, but
I doubt it.
I don't. You never know until you get there. Mm-hmm. The problem is, of course, it's sold out. So if you had hoped that you would get a last minute ticket and come on and join us, you won't be able to technically attend. But I think that you might still be able to contact Prophecy in the News people and find out if you can get on a waiting list or see if they've. Got alternatives, but I'm pretty sure they've asked us about recording, so I'm pretty sure that they're going to be offering DVDs for sale for those who can't attend.
And we are just blessed to be a part of it again this year. We will be conducting interviews, which will be recorded for DVDs, we presume.
And there may be a Friday Night Live you're going to do,
I'm also going to try to do the View from the Bunker Live that we had done last year, the roundtable sessions,
yeah,
which were
if
really
we do that,
interesting.
We need to sign up again. We'll talk about that later. But
yeah.
We'll see how that works out.
Yeah, we'll keep you informed on that because we'll go back and we'll use Blog Talk Radio, the blogtalkradio.com/PID radio that we had used previously for live shows. And we'll probably do some live shows between now and then just to get back in the habit of doing it live and on the fly. But those roundtable discussions last year I thought were really fascinating. So hopefully you'll get a chance to hear some live audio. If not live, you can catch them on the podcast afterward, and then we'll take the audio from the interviews that we've done, and we will post those in the weeks following the conference as PID radio specials so that you'll get a chance to hear the discussions that that we will have with the likes of Gary Stearman, Tom Horn, Chuck Missler, Ellie Marzulli, Russ Dizdar, Bill Federer, Joseph Farah, perhaps, the publisher-editor of WorldNet
Daily.
That's
my understanding.
Doug Woodward, Ray Gano, Doug Hamp. Grant Jeffrey, Avi Lipkin, Noah Hutchings of Southwest Radio Ministries again. So we had really a wonderful time last year. And if you're going to be there, we'll look forward to meeting you. This year, neither of us is going to have to do a presentation, so we can focus on the interviews and going to some of the other presentations.
Which I think, given all the things that we're doing right now, is best.
Yes,
because otherwise I'd just be standing up there just making it up because... Not that I don't do that anyway, but I wouldn't really have a whole lot of time to prepare on. And we just wrote, each of us just wrote a chapter for a new Tom Horn book, and I can't tell you the title of it because I'm not sure of the exact final title. So he'll be discussing that on his website very soon, I know.
Mm-hmm. It's a book that's going to be a response to the forthcoming
movie
starring Tom Hanks. Right. Mm-hmm. Dan Brown's
The Lost Symbol
movie. Yeah. It's about the... Ostensibly, it was about the Freemasons, but it turned out not to be about the Freemasons, but more about the Institute of Noetic Sciences.
Mm-hmm. Which I actually mention in my chapter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mine's about the Freemasons. So, yes. The official attendee list, and I'm not sure.
Oh, for Bilderbergers?
For Bilderberg, yeah. This is from theintelhub.com. Let's see who we've got here.
This is for this year?
This is for, yes, the meeting that just concluded over this past weekend in Chantilly, Virginia. Keith Alexander, commander of U.S. Cyber Command and director of the National Security Agency.
That's not a big surprise.
Let me see here. His Royal Highness Prince Philippe of Belgium, chairman and CEO of Telecom Italia. Let's see. The governor of the Bank of Canada, Mark Carney. CEO of UniCredit Bank Austria, Willibald.
It wouldn't surprise me if a lot of these people are in finance of some way.
Yeah. A lot of these are names that I'm not recognizing. Tom Donilon, who's the National Security Advisor in the White House.
Who's head of the World Bank right now?
CEO of Airbus. I'm betting that he'll be on the list here, so we'll keep scrolling down as we go through here. Neil Ferguson, professor of history at Harvard University. Neil Ferguson.
No relation.
No relation to Sharon. Shows up at a lot of these things. Dick Gephardt, president and CEO of the Gephardt Group, former congressman from Missouri, the area south of St. Louis and down into Jefferson County around Arnold. So good to see he's still finding employment. Austin Goolsbee, who was President Obama's economic advisor for a while there. Donald Graham, CEO, chairman of the Washington Post Company. Reid Hoffman, co-founder and executive chairman of LinkedIn, LinkedIn.com.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. John Huntsman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fellow who just ran for president for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Who else we got here? Chairman and CEO of Lazard, which is another big financial company. Vernon Jordan, Senior Managing Director of Lazard.
Robert Zolik.
Let's see. Oh, Jordan. Jordan was a big buddy, golfing buddies and a good friend of Bill Clinton's, wasn't he? Vernon Jordan.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, Jordan or Jordan?
Jordan.
That's right.
Jordan was Hamilton Jordan. That was a guy with Carter administration.
Jordan and Jordan. Yeah, in fact, Vernon Jordan is the one, they claim, who got Monica Lewinsky her job in New York.
That is correct. I knew there was a connection.
Ding, 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 ding.
U.S. Senator John.
That's one for me.
U.S. Senator John Kerry. Henry Kissinger, of course. He's at every one of these. Who else we got
here? Zolik's probably down at the bottom of the list because I think they're usually alphabetical.
Yes, they are.
Anyway, he is the current president, and he's ending his term, World Bank. He's ending his term this year, and as of today, Bloomberg turned it down.
Bloomberg turned down?
The World Bank job.
Ah, okay. All right.
So we're still looking.
Yeah.
Honey, maybe Sam could be it. You know, Sam.
He's met with all those meeting leaders.
He just looked at me and said, no.
Chief Research and Strategy Officer of Microsoft was there, Craig Mundy. He's been a number of those. Peggy Noonan, the author and columnist. Peggy Noonan was there this year. When will she write about this in her column, I wonder? Never. Richard Perle. He's at all of those, too. Charlie Rose, the PBS late-night talk show host. Guy. Yeah.
He often
Again,
goes.
You never hear him talk about it on his show, either. Eric Schmidt, executive chairman of Google. Surprise, surprise. I was looking to see if there are any potential, any interesting political candidates up and coming. Peter Thiel. Thiel, the co-founder of eBay and the guy who invested heavily and the guy who's behind the Singularity Institute.
It all comes down to that, doesn't
it? Yeah, Bob Zelick, president of the World Bank. So, yep. James Wolfenson, who was former president of the World Bank, was also there. And two reporters, both from The Economist in Great Britain, but you will not see anything in the paper about the Bilderberg Group. But the thing about Bilderberg, though, is that, in my view, it's almost become a red herring, because these people, for the most part, are so prominent in their various fields of endeavor that they can't go out for a hot dog without attracting media attention.
Exactly.
So what are the odds that they're going to secretly plan the fate of the country, of the world for the next year, when you've got Alex Jones and, you know, thousands of other protesters who've gathered and, you know, to watch them? I think while they're doing this, there are a bunch of other people somewhere else who are secretly meeting.
Maybe they've sent their doubles to the public Bilderberg meeting.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's not really, Henry Kissinger. He's some guy we found doing dinner theater in Des Moines. So.
Well, honey, I think we need to go here pretty quickly. We talked before we decided to do it. Hey, I usually go to bed soon. I'm an early to bed gal, so I can get up at 6:30 every morning. We have talked about doing this a little more frequently than every 2 weeks, and we'll try to do it at least every week. But I would like to get more into the habit of doing this more frequently,
right?
Because I've forgotten how.
And I think there's enough coming up as we get into the second half of 2012 because of all the attention that's been put on this year. And we've talked about that before. We don't believe that God is directing anything.
No. The world isn't ending on December of 2012. We don't really believe that the Lord himself has, you know, this is some big event that the Lord is planning. But I do believe that there will be, there may well be something that happens, because this date has been drummed into our heads for decades.
Yeah. Somebody or something wants us to pay attention to December 21st of 2012,
and because of that, we're gonna hang in here through the end of the year, and then tomorrow, next year. Well, if the Lord tells us that He still wants us to put the microphones on, put the microphones on,
talking to the can.
I have forgotten how to do this. If I sing into the can, will you give me a dollar?
Yeah.
Hi.
Reference to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou there. Now you're going to have to watch it, or at least listen to the soundtrack. I've got the soundtrack disc someplace. Good stuff. Well,
so the one thing George got, that in Syria.
Mm-hmm. So this coming weekend is going to be fairly busy, as Sharon is going to serve as the first female MC or announcer.
Mistress of Ceremonies.
Yes, for the Coles County Barbershop Chorus. We're doing a program to honor veterans.
In 42 years, they've never had a woman on stage with them, and I get to be up there.
Well,
with
they've had women on stage, but not serving
not
as the. Well, that's right. That's right. So
I'm going to talk into the can.
And she's actually going to sing as well. So if you're in central Illinois and looking for something to do next Saturday afternoon, that would be June the 9th, 4 p.m. Eastern Illinois University. Look for the website ColesCountyChorus.com for more information. It should be a wonderful show, not just because Sharon is involved in it, although that will be a big part of it.
There's a lot of good stuff.
But there's a lot of good music there. And again, the tribute to the veterans is really something. Mm-hmm. And we will be collecting a freewill offering for Central Illinois Honor Flight, which is a wonderful organization. Several members in our chorus now have been flown by Central Illinois Honor Flight to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And that's what it's for, is to take World War II veterans to their museum. They're dying at the rate of thousands per day because those men and women are in their 80s now for the most part.
And because they are in their 80s, they often need someone
assistance
to go along with them. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, friends of ours within the chorus and a couple of their fathers have, and in fact, a couple of our members of the chorus are old enough that they served in World War II and have attended through Central Illinois Honor Flight, which free of charge transports these men to their memorial in D.C. And it is a wonderful organization, centralillinoishonorflight.org. And there are other honor flight organizations around the country. This is not the only one. So if you've got one in your area, look them up and do a little research on it. We think it's a worthwhile organization. So our group is very proud to support them. So, yeah, look forward to us coming back on a more frequent basis as we get into the second half of the year and as we get closer to the conference in Branson. So until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.